Good evening. This is Ask Catherine for publishing on May 20th, and I'm recording on May 19th, early in the morning in the Netherlands. So thank you for your questions. I always appreciate it. I learned so much from your questions. It's unbelievable. So let's just dive in with cash and precious metals. A question on accounting. My specific situation with the last 12 years or so with QuickBooks Online is my accounting software, previous 16 years, QuickBooks Desktop. What would be your recommendation as a mirror or backup so I'm not taken hostage? So this is a great question. I don't want to describe in detail what we do for obvious reasons. That's a real security issue. I would prefer not to use QuickBooks Online. I prefer the desktop. I don't like the idea of the QuickBooks Intuit having access to our financial data, although God knows what they can do through the software. But I don't like the idea of keeping my books on the cloud other than our own cloud. But essentially, what you need to do is have multiple copies in multiple locations that is not dependent. The data is not dependent on somebody else's software. The other thing I like to do is every year have a really reliable CPA go through everything and have copies of everything so that, you know, there are redundant people in my organization and then redundant people outside my organization who've gone through everything and essentially, you know, made sure there's nothing amiss. So I think having multiple witnesses checking and making sure that nothing is amiss in your books is very, very important. And there's a long story in the Hamilton security story about making sure our books were clean and making sure nobody could fiddle with them. Anyway, I have it on my list to look into the open source software versions for accounting. They're nowhere near as professional as the ones made by private corporations, but we're going into a world where if everybody wants to do their software in the cloud, we may have to go to an open source version. Anyway, so I would take a look at that. I would look into GNU Cash and open source alternatives. But for God's sakes, have multiple copies in multiple places. And if you're the only one doing the books and if you're doing your own taxes, I would really consider paying a CPA that you can trust. Remember, it's very dangerous to get one you can't trust, but getting a CPA you can trust to go through and make sure everything is correct every year, I think is worth every penny. Hi, Catherine. Love your website. Been a subscriber ever since my favorite author, Michael Hoffman, posted a link to your Planet Lockdown interview. My question is, what, if anything, can be done about the housing market? What you describe is a situation where your spouse wants to live in the city. And I would just say, I would be really, I think if you look at what's going to go on in the cities for the next couple of years, I would want to stay out of the city. I just think there are all sorts of risk issues. Now, there are risk issues everywhere, so I don't mean to imply that they're not risk issues where you can get more land. But I look at this as pure economics. And if I were young, and I'm assuming that you're younger, I would buy a piece of land, put something on it quick, like a tiny house, where I could live in that house while we build a really proper house. But if you look at what's happened in the technology of home buildings, it's a lot easier to go learn how to build your own home than it is to fuss with the mortgage and home building markets in the United States. I just think, you know, the time has come. If I was, you know, just getting out of college or graduate school, I would literally sit down and figure out, okay, how do I buy a really great piece of land close to where I want to be, but not smack right in the city? And over time, how do I build my own house so that I get really high quality? I learn a huge amount about how to take care of the house. I learn a huge amount about many things. And I dramatically lower my lifetime expenses. Because if you can do a do-it-yourself solution instead of paying the financial system huge amounts of interest for the rest of your life. And I appreciate interest rates are low right now, but I think we're in for some serious inflation and a real effort by the leadership to make home ownership out of reach for most people, or home ownership just becomes a way for the bank to own and you to rent and get harvested. So I would come up with a much more creative solution as to getting a really nice piece of land and taking the time to build something for yourself that was really strong and much more resilient. And more resilient because you have the intellectual mastery to know how to do and deal with all the systems. You be your own contractor and learn all the different systems. So I would, one of the things we discussed in going back and forth on this is checking out Hickory Valley, which is about an hour and 15 minutes outside of Memphis. I would want to be closer. You can get great land and water because you always want a piece of land with water, but you can get great land and water 20 to 30 minutes outside of Collierville. And I think if your spouse wants to be close to or in the city, you want to be within 20 to 30 minutes shooting distance of Collierville. Now, if you go out further, then you can get more land. At the same time, what you might want to do is consider renting something really small in the city and then buying a piece of land further out and then building on the weekends, getting out of the city on the weekends. Question. The Independent Bankers Association has issued an op-ed opposing the creation of taxpayer-funded public banks. Boy, I'm with them. I agree totally. I think it's a great idea to have a state bank like North Dakota, which supports local community banks, even local credit unions. Wiping out the private banks and credit union by offering cheap taxpayer funding to banks that can do great tech support on the central bank digital currencies and are much more obedient to central control. That is a really bad idea. And Ellen Brown, who I like very much, and I've been fighting about that for years, keep saying, Ellen, what are you trying to do? Destroy the basis of freedom here? Having privately owned local community banks and privately controlled credit unions locally with private capital is, I can't tell you how that protects freedom. If you want tyranny, just get on board for lots and lots of taxpayer-funded local banks and in combination with the central banks having central bank digital currency. So I say support the Independent Community Bankers Association to the nines. Question, what are the chances of the upcoming Basel regulation impacting the gold price? There's definitely possibility of it impacting the gold price. I asked Kirby what his take was, because every time we come into one of these situations when the Basel Accords are going to rock the markets, they don't. And so I asked Kirby. He said, my take is that the bullion banks will be granted or grandfathered exemptions to the law, much like the way America created provisions in 34 when they confiscated gold, the companies could be granted an exemption from reporting accurately their true financial condition if it was in the interest of national security. Strict enforcement of Basel III would be tantamount to a dog chewing its own tail off. I'm not saying a dog couldn't chew its own tail off, but I'm saying I've never witnessed or credibly heard of such an event really happening. Now, if you look at the price of gold, the price of gold signals that Kirby's right. And so we'll just have to see. We have big things coming up in June. The different foreclosure and rent moratoriums are coming off. And, of course, another round of Basel. So, you know, there's no doubt there's a lot coming up in June that you would expect to rock the markets. But I think the long-term pressure here is, of course, inflation, which we'll talk about on Money and Markets more this week. COVID-19. In a recent interview, Dr. Fulmich of the German Corona Investigation Committee indicated that a whistleblower told him the original game plan was to roll this out in 2050, but those who were involved got greedy and pulled the plan forward to 2030 and then to 2020. Have you heard this? No, I'm a skeptic on this one, especially if you look at what they've been up to with the UN agenda for 2030 and sort of the technocracy plan. So I'm kind of a skeptic. If I talk to Reiner, I'll ask him the next time I talk to him. I'm a skeptic on this one. I'm sure Reiner, you know, a whistleblower told him. If he said a whistleblower told him, I'm sure that that's the case. But I don't think the whistleblower necessarily has the big picture here. Hi, Catherine. The governor of the state of Texas may have a mechanism in place to set up a local currency. How would this work? There are thousands of different ways you could do local currencies in a place like Texas, but what they've done is they took steps years ago to plan and build a depository for gold and silver, which is now operating and having sort of custodian depository capacity in the state, under the state sort of imprimatur, gives them the ability to do all sorts of things with local currencies, including with gold and silver. And then they, you know, more or less, they have more of an independent energy grid. Although, if you look at the most recent pipeline wars, you know, nothing is independent. So there's a squabble about their independence that way. And in addition, they went out and made significant investments, apparently, in the pension funds and some of the state-related in capital pools. So you've got a stockpile of gold and silver. You've got a depository under governmental authority, and you've got more energy independence. And those are all the sort of conditions. One of the big questions is, how do they look on a state basis for food self-sufficiency? That's going to be a big one because they've got tremendous ranching capacity. One thing I would never do is give up their meat supply because they're probably going to need it. Hi, Catherine. I received this link and felt compelled to share. Okay, so this is one of the videos on people's saying magnets are sticking to their arm after COVID vaccination. So I have no idea what the truth is on any of this, but here's what I will say. We don't know what the ingredients are in these injections. And at this point, I don't assume the ingredients place to place are the same. So I think there's a potential here for radically different ingredients in radically different places. So for example, you might have spike proteins and all, but you know, there's now one rumor that there's ingredients in some of them that are poison, which, as far as I know, could be true. Anyway, so we don't know what the ingredients are, which gives us the basis of just massive, endless speculation on what the ingredients are and how they impact people. What we need is we need multiple labs on multiple continents doing multiple tests to figure out what's in these injections and how the ingredients engage in our bodies and interact with telecommunications and EMF radiation and weaponry. You know, there are all sorts of potentials here for surveillance and mind control, as well as integration with the cloud and AI and software. And so I have no, you know, I can speculate based on the financial patterns where I think they want to go and what they're probably prototyping. I don't think they have it figured out yet, but one of the things I know is when these guys do something this big and expensive, they stack functions. So again, we don't know what the ingredients are. And I think it's shocking beyond words that you have the entire healthcare establishment globally injecting into people things that we don't know what's in it. There are various pictures going around on the internet of people taking inserts outs and showing them as blank. And again, I don't know if they're true or not, but I do know that we don't know what the ingredients are, and until we do, it is, you can only speculate about what the true purposes of this stuff is. Let's see, you may already be aware of this article from May 24th, but it is the first that I've seen explaining how neurons can be controlled by injected proteins, in this case, magnetized proteins. You may be aware of recent developments that the injection site is able to hold magnets. Again, I just think, and you're quoting Cliff High, who I think pushes out a lot of disinformation. So I don't, Cliff's a very intelligent, clever guy, but I'm just, that's not my favorite source. At the end of the Guardian article, viruses are explicitly mentioned. This system is a single elegant virus that can be injected anywhere in the brain, which makes it technically easier and less likely for moving bells and whistles to break down, and their behavioral equipment was cleverly designed to contain magnets where appropriate. So this is an article from The Guardian on remotely controlling brain and behavior from 2016. Anyway, the link is in the notes, so I really appreciate your passing on that article. I believe that the chances that the ingredients relate, among other things, to mind control are very, very high. And again, you know, I'm of the belief that this is part of installing an operating system in humans to help make the new financial system go. I said that in March 2020, and I haven't changed my tune. But believing that based on the financial patterns and my understanding of the goals of the system is one thing, but it's not anywhere near as good as having actual data on the ingredients from multiple locations around the world. Hi, I tried searching for Dr. Ty Zaks on the Solaria site, but did not come up with any results. He works at Moderna and gave a TED talk where he explains exactly what mRNA genes editing is and explains they think that it is an operating system. It's in everything. It's called the software of life. Of course, we already know this, but to hear him talk about it as if it was no big deal is disturbing, to say the least. Yes, that video is in, I did an interview with David O'Hagan and have regularly promoted his articles, Battle for Humanity and COVID-19 Injection. And in that discussion and in my references to that, I'm constantly referring to Moderna saying that it's the software of life, et cetera, including that video, which is in David's article. So we've talked about it regularly, but I haven't mentioned Zach's name. I've just said the Moderna. But certainly the detail is all in David's article. And I think, yes, it's a very important example of the unbelievably frightening and hyper-materialist vision of this industry. They just have no clue what they're messing with, but they feel free to mess with it. Comment. This is a recent early May podcast of Dr. Tenpenny speaking with four nurses. She gets into some of the infertility issues. She talks about the transmission from vaccinations. I posted that one. Tenpenny's been doing very, very good work, and I'm going to interview her this Friday. I know she feels that a very high percentage of people will be hospitalized or die. I believe the universe is full of grace, so I'm not sure. I just don't know what's going to happen. And that's because if you look at different ingredients in different places or the possibility, I don't think we know exactly what's going on here. But one thing I will say, rather than getting afraid of any viruses, and rather than getting afraid of any pathogens, and rather than getting afraid of any shedding from people who are being vaccinated, I think it's really important to remember what we need to be afraid of here. I talked about it last week. Fear tyranny. What is killing people is tyranny. What is killing people are mind control people sticking poisons into other people's veins, or mind control people taking injections into veins. So tyranny is what is killing people here, and we need to keep very, very focused on what we need to be afraid of. As I said, I'm going to interview Sherry, so if anybody has any questions for her, please post them at subscriber input or email them to Ask Catherine. Comment, thought I would share what I'm finding out about India's latest new variant on COVID-19. So lots of links on India, which I appreciate. India, you know, the war, talk about the war, the biggest battle right now, or one of the biggest battles, is the siege on India. God knows what pathogens they're releasing there. And the shriekometer is on high pitch, and I can't tell how much of it is just shriekometer versus some kind of chemical or biological warfare. But India stopped the Doha round. India has a very high percentage of small farmers and small business. And India is not on board for Gates' agenda vaccination. You know, there's a lot of resistance in India, and hopefully a lot more government officials who won't let Indians die by withholding ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. If you haven't seen Mark Skidmore's study on withholding hydroxychloroquine, he estimates in the United States killed 80 to 100,000 people. It's quite horrible, but killing 80 to 100,000 people is what people like Fauci do when they want to get an emergency authorization. You can't get an emergency authorization for an injection without insisting that there are no existing therapies. If there are existing therapies, then you don't need a vaccination, so you don't need an emergency authorization. So there you go. And the question is, how many people will they kill to get an emergency authorization? And what I would say is a lot. Hello, Catherine. This is my second question to you, which I put a bit more thought into if you think it's too long because of the context I'm providing. So this is somebody who has a successful business in New York, and they are operating it from Europe. The notes are here. And the question is, given the travel restrictions, will they be able to go back and forth? What are your thoughts on New York? I think New York is in for quite a difficult time. You know, somebody, some very important long-term money is going to pick up a lot of real estate and positions. And then New York will come out. It'll be very different. Unfortunately, one of the things that made New York great was the artists and musicians and the creative talent and the huge industries that organized around those. And that was part of what made New York great. And they're going to make it economically impossible for those people to sort of thrive in New York. So it's going to be much more Hunger Games. But I think the real estate will come back and do well. But it's not a place I used to love living in New York. It's not going to be that. I don't know. They want to make the travel restrictions permanently. So either you download the central banking's operating system and allow yourself to be mind controlled, or they're going to make it difficult to travel. And will that stick? Will they be able to pull it off? I don't know. You know, we're seeing a lot more pushback. But remember, what they want is the central banker's control system. So it depends on your strategic goals here. If you think you can run the business remotely, you might want to stick it out and see where it goes. If you can't, and you have the ability to sell the company and get your capital out so that you could reposition in a way that gives you much more control and a lot less dependency on the system and things that are more resilient, especially where you are, you might do that. But it really comes down to whether or not you want to make a bet that we come out of this hole, because the travel restrictions, you know, they're going to try and use complete spatial control to build their new system. And you're going to have to, the problem is not just that you'd have to get the operating system installed, but they'd want to update it every year, every quarter, every month. It's going to get pretty gruesome, or it has that potential. And then you ask, you know, sort of how I stay motivated and fearless. So I don't know a way of going about this other than spiritual. I studied spiritual warfare during the litigation, and I had to sit and watch everything I'd ever built destroyed, and watch, you know, my 5,000 best friends not care or think it was funny or take advantage of the situation or help the bad guys, including my family, many people in my family, not everybody. And so I studied spiritual warfare, and it absolutely saved my life, but it gave me a way of approaching things that made sense, kept me grounded in trying to practice decent habits. That's the hard team part, is keeping good habits under the, you know, when you're in highly volatile circumstances and subject to much shadow work. And I learned how to pray. And prayer is a technique that can give you access to all the intelligence that you need and all the love in the universe. So I am loath to tell another person how to find their spiritual pathway. But you are in a situation where we're dealing with occult forces. They are demonic. Many, many people are happy to make money helping them, and, you know, with various understandings of what's going on, and they make it their business to pretend they don't know. You're in a war, and the war is spiritual, it's legal, it's financial, and you have to find your own center and calm in the storm. So I would recommend you listen to something I recorded last year called Why I'm an Optimist. And then I recommended a whole bunch of materials that I'd recorded, particularly with John Rappaport. John's work, I went back and read his work on imagination and I've studied all of his work, and it was unbelievably helpful to me. Other people hate him, so, you know, it's a taste. I had a great church, a great Bible Institute. I really seriously studied the Bible and Christian teachings and education, including all the things that were cut out of the Bible, because after all, it is edited by the Church of England and the Vatican, which leaves a lot of good stuff got edited out. Anyway, so the early Christian education and teaching helped me enormously. Prayer helped me enormously in training in spiritual warfare. And the history of, you know, John says very rightly, this is a 10,000-year-old war. And so training in the understanding the history of that 10,000-year-old war and understanding what I wanted to do about it. So what I found is if you are on the right side of things in terms of your own beliefs and philosophy, then you just never know how things might turn out. Anyway, it's a much longer discussion, but I would start with why I'm an optimist and follow many of the links and some of the recommendations. There's some great books, materials. If you haven't watched The Neverending Story, that's a movie you need to watch. Hi, Catherine. How often will Via Europa be reporting into us? It was a fascinating episode, very eye-opening. Nice to hear what is happening overseas. So Vanessa Beard Schaefer just recorded a new Via Europa called France Under COVID. And I love it when she does these. So she's done 3 Via Europas. This is the 3rd. And she does such a wonderful job of describing what things are like in the middle of where she is. So my agreement with her is to, ideally, we're shooting for 4 a year, 1 a quarter. But at the same time, Vanessa likes to record them when something happens that is on her mind and she thinks is significant. And of course, these different sort of open public letters in France are very, very significant. So I was delighted she did it. Anyway, I sent her your comment because it reminds me of Bradley talking about Patton. He says, give Patton a headline, he's good for another 60 miles. So I think her understanding that the subscribers really appreciate what she's doing encourages her to sit down and record these when she's got something on her mind. Hi, Catherine. I'm so happy to have someone like you because my knowledge has expanded exponentially these past couple of years. Thank you for mentioning Franklin in Tennessee and for all the information you offer. I also want to say keep doing what you're doing. As always, I look forward to listening to your content. Stay happy and healthy. I will try. Allies are everywhere, so I'm glad you learned about Franklin. I'm not sure if that was Franklin Sanders or the place Franklin, Tennessee. Anyway, just remember there are allies everywhere. Hi, Catherine. I heard you mention something about finding local contacts, and I quickly scanned the notes for last week's Ask Catherine, but could not find them in the notes or on the site. Did I miss something? So you want to check out the first quarter wrap-up, the thing I did on Soleri Circles. We're in the process of bringing up 2 changes in the software. One is the new subscriber input, which we published last week, and you can check that out so we can organize the subscriber input by topics because it's getting a little bit bulky to just do it in one long stream. And then the other is we're bringing up an open source kind of social media software where people who want to gather in circles can do an online circle in support of doing one either on their network or locally. It's mostly to help people in places. We've been training people. We've trained about 20 plus people who want to gather the Soleri Report subscribers in their area. So what we do is we put you through training. And then we send an email to people in your area saying, you know, John and Sally want to gather and host events, you know, so you can meet each other. If you're interested, just send an email and contact them. And I think the restrictions have made it hard for people to do. And so they've said, can we start meeting each other online by, you know, in various groups by place? We can certainly do it in subscriber input on the topic, but this gives you the ability to set up your own group, make your own rules, take it private among yourselves if you choose. So what we're going to do is we're going to first contact in the next couple of weeks the people who've been trained and see if some of them want to start doing this, and we'll continually prototype it under 1, then 2, then 3, then up to 20. And once we are confident it's working, then we're going to open it up to anybody who's willing to be trained. So to start a group, you need to go through the training, and then you need to invite all subscribers ultimately will be able to join the platform. But to start a group, you need to go through the training, and you need to invite members into your group. So again, this is really much more support for people who really want to find like-minded people. And so I anticipate it's going to roll out over the next couple months. And I really hope by fall that it can provide real support to people who want to do groups. Dear Catherine, I'm a relatively new Solaria Reporter Skyber and just received the email notification of the Rogue Food Conference scheduled for June 4th and 5th in Tennessee. Although I'm unable to attend, I wanted to let you know of something I've been reading about that is of tremendous concern to me as an American and a consumer. The U.S. government is building a biosafety level 4 National Bio and Agro Defense Laboratory in Manhattan, Kansas. Over the last year, we've all become familiar with this sort of lab, as this is the type of facility located in Wuhan, China. I'm attaching an article on this issue for your review. I think this is something that Americans would want to know. No amount of food independence will help us if all the livestock has been destroyed because of pathogen like hoof and mouth disease. I've submitted my comments to the Manhattan City Commission, which recently had a meeting to, that's Manhattan, Kansas, I'm assuming, address resident concerns, and I've contacted Representative Massey's D.C. office. The Kansas facility is scheduled to open later this year in early 2020 and be fully operational in 2023. What is the best way to make sure my concerns are heard? I've also contacted Senator Stabenow. My senator is chair of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. It is incredible to me that the senator or any other member of that committee thought it was acceptable. I agree totally. And what I would say is keep doing what you're doing. All the things you're doing are great things to do, but I would keep doing them. This is going to take an investment of time. We had a conversation. We agree. As soon as this was announced, we published this and we're very concerned about it. So I've been talking with Pete Kennedy, who runs the food series, about whether we could do a special Solaria report on this. And I agree with you totally. This is a great concern. And there's no doubt that they're trying to control or even kill the meat supply. And so, and I wouldn't put anything past them. Nothing. So I'm with you. Catherine, if you have already done so, please point me to the right documents for a high-level definition of transhumanism. Excellent question. I should get Joseph Farrell to come on Solaria Report and basically do a Solaria Report on what is transhumanism. He has a book that is a little bit old now. It's 2012. But if I wanted to learn about transhumanism, I'd get his book. It's by, got a co-author, Scott DeHart. And Daniel Estulin also has a book. Patrick Wood does a lot of good work. And one of the things I would read is Wayne Croy's book on the autism secret, Transhumanism's Dirty Little Secret. There's a very important relationship between transhumanism and vaccination, and it's worth understanding. And that's one of the things McRoy explores in transhumanism's, or the autism epidemic. There was, when I was looking for information on these different books, I found a description to a book I haven't read. It's by a guy named David Livingston, but I thought it was very, very good in terms of describing the problem here, which is transhumanism is described as simply, oh, man has incredible opportunities to enhance his physical and intellectual potential with scientific technologies, and we're going to grow and be better, and isn't that wonderful? And that's sort of one. But if you look at sort of who's really doing this and who's in control, you know, there's a really ugly, deep, evil occult agenda here that feels free to experiment with people in a way that destroys our spiritual and intellectual capabilities and, you know, creates central control of the livestock. So there's a very dark agenda here. And anyway, I put Livingston's notes there. But I would start with Farrell and Farrell's book, and I would read Estulin and McRoy. You know, we're basically looking at technology, which is pretty out of control. These guys, there's no doubt that this injection, the gene therapy that is going on globally now, you know, they intend to modify the DNA of the entire global population. So this is unbelievably, you know, this is an experiment. They are prototyping very advanced technologies, potentially very gruesome technologies on the human race. So if you look at the ingredients in this stuff, you can understand why hypermaterialists might think this is a plan. But if you believe, as I do, that we're energetic beings and, you know, sort of we have electrical bodies or energetic bodies, you know, what they're doing is madness. Much longer conversation. I'll see if I can get Farrell to do one on transhumanism with me. Hi, Catherine. I'm wondering if there's anything to the act of 1871 birth certificates, gold fringe added to the flag. Yes, there's always something to this, but I have not spent a lot of time researching the various rabbit holes related to the legal system, because in my experience, the guys who run things don't obey the law. You know, they don't obey the formal law. They don't obey the law they make up and keep in the back. They don't. I just find they don't obey the law. So I tend not to spend a lot of time trying to learn various theories of the legal system, because it doesn't matter if they're not going to respect them. What is your trusted source for high quality QRS system? I can't give you a recommendation here. I have a German QRS system. The original one I got was a present, and then I replaced it by contacting one of the U.S. representatives. The system had been recommended by very knowledgeable people, and I used it and liked it. So, and then I just called the rep and got a replacement. It was perfectly competent, but I don't know them. If you do QRS at Solaria, you can find a commentary where I wrote about the system I use. Question: the recent market update report from NNR Global Logistics. So he talks about the breakdown in the supply chain. And you talk about this doesn't make sense. If one quarter of small business has been closed forever, actually now in the United States, it's up to 34% have been closed forever. Millions of people have lost their jobs and millions more have been thrown into poverty. Then where is the growing consumer demand coming from increased spending on imported goods? So don't underestimate the amount of money that's being pumped out and spread around by government programs. John and I have talked about it, money and markets, as well as the waterfall. When you get this many elderly people dying, the capital falls down. So there's a waterfall effect. Then you have immigration with tons of money being pumped out to support the immigrants. And then, of course, you've got the delay in mortgage and rent payments, which are some of the biggest payments that people have. But I'm with you. There are millions of people getting squeezed and destroyed, and they make it sound like everything's fine. But I think the reason everything from a cash flow standpoint looks reasonable is because they're pumping out so much money, and that's being spread around. And John and I have been trying to cover that steadily on Money and Markets. The new subscriber input page looks, will there be a place where we can view all the new entries that come in? I would love to have that, like a what's new section, but we can't do it. We have to go one way or the other with the complete stream as we have it now, or with something organized around topic. But the software will automatically kick up to the top the ones that are getting the most comments and the most activity. So that makes it a little bit easier. But after June 30, alas, no. I would love it if we could get that. So I keep trying to see if there's a way we can, but so far, no. Question. So somebody's getting a blue healer and they want to know if they should chip their dog. I would never chip a dog. If you've read The Field by Lynn McTaggart, if you've watched Wave Genome by Ulrich Groniger on the Solaria Report, I can't recommend it highly enough. If you read a post called Karma Means You Don't Get Away With Anything, which is I put the link in the show notes. It's to one of my favorite stories ever, a story about Carl Jung. I think the question is, what is the spiritual and energetic relationship you want to have with your dog? So you'll see farmers who will hold a foal or hold a baby cow when it's born so they can imprint it energetically. So what is your spiritual and energetic relationship with your dog? And so how will it benefit your spiritual and energetic relationship with your dog to hook them up to Mr. Global's telecommunication networks? I'm assuming that's what a chip will probably do. So do you want your dog to resonate with you or with AT&T and your smartphone? Catherine Albrook reported when I last interviewed her, it's the interviews are in the library, that some of the chips on the animals were making them sick. You know, they were getting cancer around where the chip was and whatever. But I'm assuming that that can add to the surveillance capacity around you. And I think the few chips in your life, you know, Albrecht used to call them spy chips. You know, in theory, if you can get every chip in your home out of your home, get it out of your home. But the last thing I would do is put it in a dog and bring that in. So anyway, the link to Karma Means You Don't Get Away With Anything is in the show notes. But I would never chip a dog. Question, why is Israel adored by the right an attack by the UN and NGOs, and also why is Palestine adored by the left and hundreds of NGOs? So right now, the Israelis are, it's a long and complicated story, but basically right now what we're watching is a new push to genocide the Palestinians. If you look at the politics of right and left here, it's basically money prop. I remember talking to one activist who had started successfully to work on a peace process involving both the Palestinians and the Israelis, and the intelligence agencies went after him with electromagnetic weaponry because the last thing they wanted was peace. You can't control the Middle East without a constant war. Anyway, so this is big business, and I would strongly recommend, I put up the link to the commentary, Mind Control Tactics Used on Young People and Children, that it also has an expanding section in the bottom on mind control used on adults. And I would just, if you don't really understand mind control, and I find that 1% of 1% of the people in the G7 nations, the G20 nations, I think 1% of 1% understand the mind control that's happening. I would spend a year reading, watching, and digesting the links in that whole commentary. So read all those books, read all those, watch all those links, and then think about what's going on from the vantage point of the technology that's available. Comment, New York City subway announcement straight out of a dystopian movie. Free shot, free single shot vaccine available right now in the station includes free 7-day Metro card. It's unbelievable. What can you say? My favorite quote from the Buddha is, those who are awake live in a state of constant amazement. Comment, I'm seeing people in total ecstasy. No, not the drug. After Biden said people are injected, can go out and have their lives unmasked, people were just acting as if it was party time, and in my wee village, the parties have been announced. This is more creepy than the raging fear of last year. Holy God, help us. Yes, so same comment. Spend the next year reading and digesting the links at Mind Control Tactics Used on Young People and Children. Question, do we know of public technology which can determine vaccine status from a body scan? The proposed EU travel pass covers these measurements. So here's the thing. Remember, the goal of the passport has nothing to do with health or vaccination. It has to do with complete cash and spatial control. It's the train tracks for a new financial system, and all this hullabaloo about coronavirus is simply a way to market the train tracks of tyranny. So the coronavirus stuff is, it's just a ruse. What they want is they want complete spatial control, and that's what this is about. No questions in health and local gatherings other than the one I went into above. Somebody had was very interested in some sermon, or let's see. For your information, consideration is a link to what I feel is an important, encouraging spiritual interpretation of the times we are living in. By Johnny N. Lowe, who calls himself a social reformer. So you sent the information, I will check it out. And I will say this, she had a quote from me, he says it's going to be biblical. I would disagree. I would say it is biblical. So in that sense, we agree. So I just think spiritual training helps enormously to deal with times like this. So whatever you can do to get a spiritual grounding and approach, it's a whole new way of looking at the world, and it really, I got to tell you, it works for me. The next is a comment on the push to destroy our access to meat. Someone, I was talking to a wonderful subscriber last night, and they said Alan Watts did this long lecture in 2006 that she watched on the internet, and he talks about how in the olden times, if they wanted to keep tight control on the serfs, they would cut off their meat supply. And it just made people much easier to control and made them weaker. Anyway, so I'm a big proponent of meat eating, and you describe the carnivorous diet, which has really helped and saved some people. It's interesting because I know people who were saved by a vegan diet. People have been saved by an all-meat diet. People have been saved by a vegetarian diet. And my attitude is you have to find what your body needs. There are different body types. Anyway, but I think the goal of taking meat away is to reduce physical strength and make people much easier to control or depopulate. again, on the food series we've been talking about, should we have, should we do more on sort of these diet issues of carnivorous diet versus vegan versus vegetarian? And I definitely want to do something on the meat aspect. Okay, so no questions in shadow work, take action, conclusion. Again, thank you for your questions. Send questions to askcatherine@slear.com or post them at subscriber input. If you haven't checked out the new subscriber input, I strongly recommend it. It gives you the ability to organize topics by, organize sort of comments by topics and sort of keep the thread together. So I think in the long run, it's going to, the feedback on it is almost uniformly positive, but I appreciate that those of us who love a what's new skim of the latest are not going to necessarily find it as easy. Now, remember, you can always publish comments and post your comments in any commentary on the whole website. So you can go to a commentary and do your thread there, or you can go to subscriber input. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, that's it for Ask Catherine. Have a wonderful 2 weeks. I'll be back in the first week of June with the next Ask Catherine. So if your question didn't get answered or it came in after Monday, we will address it in the next Ask Catherine in the first week of June. Have a wonderful week.